What up, it's your boy Jannar, and you listen to the Gnarcast episode 149. Be sure to hit me up on the gnarcast.podomatic.com. Plus, you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. Both are facebook.com/thenarcast plus twitter.com/thenarcast. And also, be sure you subscribe to iTunes plus Stitcher Radio. And I have the gentleman of Dr. Seahorse with me here, and we're going to talk a little bit about some music, their upcoming show, about some potential fatherhood maybe, and you know, and all about the music scene and stuff like that. So welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
So how you guys doing?
Good. Yeah, good. Excited to be here with you.
Yes. Yeah, I'm glad to have you guys. I almost postponed because just yesterday, I went to the local Obsession Nights down at U31 and decided to go get a burrito afterwards. And then when I had that burrito, I went home, had some cereal. And I don't know, maybe it was the mixture of the milk and the sausage burrito, because I had a breakfast burrito, but it really upset my stomach. If you ever decide you want to eat multiple times within like a 30-minute time frame, make sure it's not a burrito and milk and Special K. Because it does not mix. Okay. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, noted.
I'm just letting you know.
I may know a doctor if something... we are Dr. Cyrus Wade.
That's right.
That doesn't work.
That's right. So anyway, I'm really glad you guys were able to come over and hang out with us. And I know you guys have been doing a lot, especially in 2013. And now you guys are finally actually able to release the new LP here called Go.
Yeah.
So what was the holdup on that, actually?
The holdup was I was on NBC's The Voice. And when you're on the show, you know, that anything that you were in the middle of, you kind of have to postpone and hang out in the hotel and be filming all the shows.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
All that.
I bet that was pretty exciting, too, for you, The Voice.
It was, yeah. I definitely got to see my strengths and also got to see sort of my weaknesses, mm-hmm. you know, because it's kind of like the pressure's on.
Yeah. Now, tell me how it works, because I know I talked to you guys before on a separate thing, not the Gnarcast, but so how does it work? So I know you're a singer-songwriter, Trevor. And then also, Mark, I know you're a producer and you also grew up playing drums, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how does the songwriting process work? Where does it start before we jump into the new album? I want to make sure that I know and the Nardicans know exactly how Dr. Seahorse works.
Oh, like the process of Seahorse, Mark. Well, why don't you why
it
don't
always
you
starts with It always starts with Trevor. I mean, he always comes up with the original ideas, the song itself, lyrics, melody, chord structure, you know, everything to that.
It's ready to go for a coffee shop, but it's not ready to go for what we do.
Yeah.
And he does that all day long. He's great at that. So, and he'll just come over and play the song or a bunch of songs, and I'll just kind of listen through and just say like, I'm feeling that one. Let's just record some scratch ideas. And then I kind of just start running with it, whatever I feel like. Sometimes I can come up with just like some cool beats and stuff in like an hour, and sometimes it takes me like a couple weeks, you know? Like,
yeah, that's crazy.
Or even sometimes when it takes you a couple of weeks and then you send it and then it's like, we gotta go a different direction. Those are actually, and that's only been a few, but I feel like those have been kind of the ones that have had a lot of struggle.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that I like, I don't know why, but maybe it's just me.
Well, Trevor's he's very creative and he can come up with things that are very unconventional, mm-hmm. which I think is a great thing because it makes me have to think harder, like how to make this really work. Because something that can just work for a typical, I don't know, rock band.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, yeah.
You know, like I would be like, okay, yeah, you put this beat and this guitar riff and it works and then you got that song. But he'll come up with something that's like, I don't know, what do you do with that? That's just different than what other people, and that's great. I think that's what contributes to Dr. Seahorse's like kind of unique sound.
Mm-hmm.
He comes up with something unique, makes me try harder to make it work, and then in the end it's like, wow, I've never heard anything like that. It might have taken us months to finish one one track.
That's crazy.
But,
totally, yeah.
But that's super cool. Like you were saying, like, so I'm like, this is how I'm like putting this, like trying to translate this. So you, let's just say you have a riff that might be like a G, C, D chord, right? In the music world. And then Mark, what you do is you transcode those chords into something electronically.
Yes.
Which is beautiful. Yeah. That's awesome.
Sometimes he'll play like a guitar and I'll record the guitar and then chop it up, mm-hmm. and make it all just
Oh, nice.
tweaked.
Yeah.
Or sometimes he'll just come over and play like some MIDI piano stuff, and I can just easily manipulate that into any sound I want. But whatever he creates it on, I want to like try to find that inspiration and make it Dr. Seahorse, you know, because if he's writing his in his strength, then it's going to be the best.
Yeah.
And then it's my job to make it a Dr. Seahorse track.
That's what's up. You know? So,
and usually I'll like actually, most of them I'll write on guitar, but I won't even know what chords they are because they're like some weird half diminish thing. And then I have to figure out how to transpose them to piano.
Oh, wow.
You know, at his house. And it's funny because that takes a little bit of time. And I have to break apart the chord, like what note it is. And then, yeah, it's fun.
It's kind really of funny. Cool. Like, I feel like we don't know that much about music technically sometimes because he doesn't know how to play piano and I don't know how to play piano at all.
Yeah.
So we'll just take forever to like figure out, like, I don't know, what is that chord? That works. No, that doesn't work. It just takes us forever. And I feel like sometimes we're like beginners, but. Hey, whatever.
And you both have studios too, and you're like, you have your own studio,
yeah,
Mark, and you have your own studio.
His studio's a little lot better than mine, but mine does exist, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so now I know how you guys do it musically. So, what about lyrically? Like, what is the, this for example, for Go, like, what do you feel like lyrically the whole album, like, represent? Like, I'm not pretty sure.
I don't know if there's an actual theme as far as lyric content goes throughout the whole EP, especially being that only out of six songs, like two of them are covers, which, you know, have the same, a lot of what I think what we're going for too is, you know, like a sound and that kind of being what's cohesive, and then trying to cover, you know, a lot of my favorite records that have existed, like let's say Stevie Wonder songs in the key of life,
right?
You know, if every song is like, you know, baby or something like that, then I get really bored. So I actually like to cover a lot of topics, and not like to repeat that in a way.
Right.
So I would say that this record definitely almost doesn't have a theme, lyrically speaking, but definitely I think we took, how to describe it in an abstract way, I feel like there's sort of like a color that we've kind of had with this record that's kind of like, it kind of matches the color of the artwork being kind of, it kind of has this black thing, but there's sort of like a bright kind of light kind of poking through. So it's kind of has this dark kind of moodiness, but there's still some, definitely some pep and some energy within that.
Mm-hmm.
That
I think it's pretty consistent with all our other records, which generally have a somewhat dark feel to it, but then a quirky like twist.
Right.
Both musically and lyrically.
Right.
I mean, nice. like you're singing about, like, I don't know, like animals in the ocean, and it's kind of like dark, but then you're like, but you're singing about,
yeah, I'm not singing animals. About no animals in the ocean getting their head chopped off,
right.
It's like, yeah. It feels really good, but
right.
Yeah, at the same time
it's
there's
dark, yeah.
And I think it's just, I grew up like in a, you know, all black gospel church, and in those kind of settings, I mean, if you grew up listening to, you know, GCD because you're, you know, listening to a bunch of white people play,
yeah,
by a campfire, then you tend to be prone to want to hear those chords,
right?
I mean, music is all sometimes what people think is good is what's relative to what they know,
right.
You know, a snare drum that they've grew up hearing,
listening,
they think
to,
that,
yep,
that's what they're basing everything off of, what's good, but it's really just about what you know. So for me, you know, what's normal to me is chords that kind of, I wouldn't say are darker, because to me, in my perspective, it wasn't darker, it's just simply what I know. But then, like, let's say from someone like Mark's perspective, mm-hmm, who grew up with a different kind of music than me, it can seem darker, but it's not darker to me. Or like someone else can have a chord progression that they mean it and it's like they're heartbroken about it, but
right,
to me it's like way too happy, and
yeah,
it almost becomes so happy that it's like clowns and actually becomes scary.
Yeah, wow. That's,
yeah,
that's a good interpretation of it. Yeah,
it's funny though, he actually feels like happy music is more uncomfortable.
Yeah, like, Beach Boys, I love what they do, but at the same time it almost gets spooky. It's so happy,
funny,
that it's like Chucky or something.
But I think,
yeah,
clowns is a good, like,
totally.
Want
a balloon?
That.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Sorry.
That's weird.
Wow. That was deep. Trevor over here spitting some knowledge over here. Wow. So you grew up listening to black gospel. That's really cool, man. So what else? Like, what about you, Mark? Like, what was your music background back when you were growing up?
My dad was a professional musician, and he did jazz and classical music. He played clarinet in the Chicago Symphony. So I had a lot of that always going.
Mm-hmm.
But then my favorite thing personally was gangster rap.
Nice.
So, I mean, I was just into Ghetto Boys and Ice Cube,
nice,
and all that. So, as I don't know, that's a pretty strange combo.
Which is probably why you like to chop up the chords and put them all into the electronic world.
Yeah, I love the feel, the beats, the intensity.
The 808s.
Yeah, I love that. But then I love the sophistication of a symphonic piece, you know?
That's what's up.
So,
that's cool. Yeah. What about you? Other than gospel, what else did you guys, what did you grow up listening to?
I think if I tried to analyze what it, like the threads of my musical taste, because I think when you look at it too close, you think that they totally contradict themselves. So it's like growing up with the gospel, and then all of a sudden there's like, you know, the grunge scene of like Nirvana, yeah, and even, you know, through like Rage Against the Machine, mm-hmm, to those kinds of things. I mean, I was in love with like Rage Against the Machine, you know, and you really, if you pick it apart, you know, the feeling of what they did had a sense of angst to it. And then, you know, from that to kind of even neo soul. And you can kind of see that the music that I liked, even when it was like more hardcore or rock, it was the chords were still, it was still based upon like a line or something, like Rage Against the Machine or even Led Zeppelin would sometimes have like a melodic line happening versus just jamming on chords. Yeah. I don't like music to sound jammy.
Yeah.
I love music to sound orchestrated and well thought through. So nice. Like, I want to hear someone who seems like they wrote something and they really hashed it out and they like didn't like it at first and they really thought about it again. Not that they couldn't, there's no option of, you know, they got inspired and they just simply wrote an amazing line. Right. I know that that happens, but I would generally say that I like the sound of things that are kind of orchestrated and put together. And nothing towards the jammy end of things. Like, yeah, we were all in a room together and we just started jamming. And, you know, now it's like, you know, nothing against like Dave Matthews or something. But you know what I mean? Just
yeah,
like,
I totally get it.
Yeah, don't do a fill unless you really think that that's what's really going to add to the music.
Right. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I would say we're both very analytical people. We definitely analyze music, our own music especially, probably to a fault. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we just like analyze the crap out of it.
Doctors.
Yeah. Dr. Seahorse, hence the name, right? Now, how did you guys come up with the name?
I wrote a song back in the day called Dr. Seahorse, and people didn't seem to ever forget that. I'd only have to tell them once, and it just stuck. And so we're trying to come up with a name. I don't remember how it exactly came up, but it did. And even in that moment, it stuck. You know, always is a very sticky subject, that Dr. Seahorse.
Well, we know it generated from a song at least. So.
Yeah, and then we actually put that song on our first EP.
Okay.
And then we changed the title so that we can utilize the name Dr. Seahorse.
Was that Red Carpet or was it actual Symptoms of Trend?
Symptoms of Trend. Okay. The last song on the record called Help Me Out. But yeah, Dr. Seahorse.
Yeah, actually
was
says
the original
Dr.
Title.
Seahorse in it, right?
Yeah.
There's a line that's in the
it.
One
so what's the song about?
It's just
sea animals.
It's the one that he talked about earlier on this interview here.
Oh, really? Where I wasn't listening, huh?
Go around like talking to sea creatures, and not all my songs are this kind of like almost Tori Amos lyrics in the way, but but that one's pretty. It's kind of like whereas you know Beatles like Walrus Song or you know it's like Yellow Submarine, and that's kind of really abstract artsy kind of lyric content, but if you listen to it, there is definitely a meaning I think you can hear it for sure.
Cool. So let's compare the actual the newest EP here or LP here called Go to Symptoms of Trend. Like, how do you think you guys grown as a band? Cause I know you guys been planned for performing together for at least more than some years now, right? It's been
right,
a while.
Totally.
It's been a while, almost a decade, right? Feels
yes,
like it.
Maybe not quite, but
a
close.
Couple years,
to,
sure. Yeah. But yeah, boy, I mean, we've known each other for so long that mm-hmm. it almost feels like it has been that.
Yeah.
Because we were messing around with music before we decided to even make this a project right. or even record it. So.
That's pretty good call. Decade there.
Yeah.
Yeah. See,
it's getting close to a decade.
Wow, impressive.
Yeah, that first record, we were definitely just coming up with the most random ideas with no plan at whatsoever. It's just making the most random stuff.
Well, sort of a plan, right? In a sense. Well, I mean, I actually originally hired Mark to do
you had a plan.
What he does. Yeah, I always have a plan. And maybe that's what I like about Mark, because he's like more, I think you do feel the moments more than me. I do feel like I'm like a kind of a strategic futuristic mind, and Mark is more can know how to be in the moment, and I think that comes out in the music in the sense of having that feel and that emotion. And I'm always like thinking through these long-term things. But that doesn't have to do with my answer. Back to the question?
So 5 minutes ago, the original question, just joking. But the original question was, I just wanted a quick comparison between the latest album to the new one, and just wanted to see like how much you think you guys grown. And you were mentioning how you thought that Symptoms of Trend was kind of thrown together, trying to like experiment a little bit. But now that was like...
I got my answer now.
All right, go for it.
I remember now. Oh, yeah. So the first record, the plan was is that he was going to do sort of a remix. I have these 5 songs that exist, and he would receive those and do what I've heard him do.
Right.
You know, and so there was actually a lot of freedom. I didn't speak into it in any way. Hey, do what you do.
Right.
And then I gave... I was going to give 5 songs to a producer that was more like, you know, organic, almost on the tip of country, and do like a record that was more my acoustic style, but have the same 5 songs and put them on the same record under my name and call it Country Club, being one more electronic, almost no real instrumentation,
right.
And then one being nothing but real instrumentation, not as much beat oriented, and put them on the same record. That record, that producer kind of dropped out, but Mark was flinging out tunes like really quickly, and they were like amazing. So much to the point that I like had to wait, I can't just throw this on as an afterthought or like a 50% thought. You know, it's like it almost stood its own ground.
Right.
And so that's when I kind of thought through, you know, maybe this is an alter ego project. And then we didn't even know how we were going to perform it. And so it kind of started off, maybe this is an alter ego like release that I do to, we kind of experimented with the performance. And when we performed together, I think that that's when there was a second layer of magic that made it seem like, you know, I wasn't just hiring a producer to do something with my songs, that there was actually something beyond that,
that would create
a band as a whole. And that's when we started to move forward in that. But I would say our first record definitely had a lot of freedom to it in that sense of, I just wrote the songs and Mark didn't speak into that much.
Right.
And then he produced it, I didn't speak into that much. Where it started to change to where it is now, and the growth is that we actually developed a communication of like learning each other. So I'd almost write and sort of think what Mark would like or wouldn't like, or what he would, what would inspire him. And then he's sort of like, I think this last record, I feel like it's us kind of, and I think it's going to go back and forth. Like, I think, you know, sometimes he'll come in my territory a little more, and then sometimes I like, wait, that's too far in my territory. I actually want to go back to your territory a little bit, you know? So I think in some sense, there's a level of respect and appreciation for each other's like different gifting, but we're definitely different from each other. And that's what makes Dr. Sears what it is.
That's what's up. Because now you just give him, like you said earlier in the interview, just a couple like chord progressions, and then he'll do his math and his science to make it into an actual Dr. Seahorse track. Mm-hmm. And speaking of performances, like when I saw you guys on the live, on when we did the Live from the 4th segment, that there, just that performance alone, it also defines you guys both like lyrically, musically, but also as a performer, as performers. Cause I didn't know you had the dance moves, Trevor. Like you were looking pretty damn good. I was like, wow. You think you're on Dancing with the Stars there for a second. I was like, yeah, that was awesome. Mm. So I think that's definitely something that I think a lot of people that haven't seen you guys yet will be looking forward to, is obviously the music, but also the stage presence.
And I think in a world nowadays where people, it's so easy for people to buy recording gear at a very cheap rate, like the bar is set really low for people to hop into the world.
Right.
And what that does is it creates so much noise that I feel like it's, in some sense, people become semi-jaded in the sense of like, if you're trying to promote something, like what? There's so much stuff being promoted at me every day. I think that's what separates us, but it's also very hard to sell us, is that we have a fun live performance. But the hard part about that, if it's so just, not that it's just based on that, but I feel like to really complete the package of what we are, I think people seeing us live, they're like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But sometimes people heard about me, they, now that I know how this project went on, Dr. Seahorse, they're like, okay, that's cool. Yeah. Good luck with that, you know? And
right.
They don't really listen into it, but then maybe they happen to see us live and they're like, wait, I'm all about this.
Yeah.
This is fun, you know? And that's what it is. I think we're just both having a blast. And I think people sometimes would think that we're taking ourselves serious, but I think after they see us live, they know we're not really serious at all.
That's what's up.
That's definitely one of my favorite things about this project is our live performance, because I get to like stand up and actually move.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sitting at a kit, you know, that's just like just put in one place. I get to do whatever I want, and that's like super fun for me. I've never had that. And then just the fact that I feel like Our name's Dr. Seahorse, our music's weird, so I think our live performance doesn't have a limit to it. I don't feel like. I feel like we just do whatever we want. Yeah. We're not a rock band. We don't have to be rock. We're not a pop band that has, like, you know, choreographed moves. We don't have that. We just do whatever, and yeah. I love that. I think it comes across, I hope.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that we've grown into is understanding our identities being so separate from each other, mm-hmm. and almost, hey, when if we almost sometimes if we kind of lean into the other person a little too much, it's like, hey, no, stay who you are.
Yeah.
You know, don't get inspired by me. You
right,
know what
right.
I mean? Like, so it's like Mark will like move a certain way, and then it's like, yeah, sorry, no, that's my move, and you do your move. You know, like. It's kind of funny.
That's
funny. Awesome. So, like, yeah, Mark definitely comes across more, I think, visually as, like, the doctor, you know, and I'm kind of more the squiggly seahorse guy.
Nice. So how are the venues here these days? Like, how are they treating you? Like, are you guys getting a lot of shows? Like, I know it's the beginning of this year, and I know you guys got a show coming up this upcoming week. But, like what are some of you guys? Because I know you guys traveled, too, a little bit, right, and performed. So how has that been for you guys? How's that experience being able to spread your you know your music, your project out, not just in San Diego, but just, you know, all over the you know, the continent, or even just here in the States?
I think it's been good. I mean, I feel like everywhere we've performed, the response has always been great, and they've always had us back. Mm-hmm. And I like the venues in San Diego because I think they're open to just weird acts like us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like just a this is the only sound we have. This is the only type of band we have. They'll bring us in, and we're like, maybe don't fit the mold, but
yeah, San Diego.
But they respond.
Kind of, it's pretty diverse,
yeah.
cultural place. So I feel like it comes out in the venues. You know, like the Griffin or Casbah. You know, from night to night, or even from act to act on the same night. It flip flops and into different genres and things. And thank God for that, because I think that definitely gave us an in. And I remember when we, not even just a few years ago, just thinking like, gosh, how do we get into Casbah?
Yeah.
How do we get into those places? Now it's so nice to, you know, receive emails. Hey, can you open, or can you play this night? You know,
that's really
that's
cool.
That's awesome.
That's super
so
cool.
It's cool to have, you know, what I, you know, because I feel like a lot of times at the beginning, it's, you know, when they don't know you, they don't know you. And then
right.
someone else tells someone else. Yeah, like 91X has been really good at promoting us. And I think I think just them alone has really opened a lot of doors for us, and there's just been a lot of almost few good soldiers behind us that have been kind of helping open doors, and
yeah,
I think it's
just
been
recently,
really great.
Yeah, and I just recently saw a video of you guys with Robin Roth from 91X recently. That's on the San Diego's website as well. So it looked like you guys are getting some promotions and stuff too. And I just saw you on, is it Live San Diego or San Diego Live? I think.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, you guys were on that. I saw some of that interview, saw you guys perform, and
yeah, I hope that keeps rocking.
Yeah, I think it will.
It has a lot of potential
and it's the only current live feel type of a show that's San Diego based.
Totally.
And
yeah,
I think, you know, it being a startup, I think it's got the potential to be something great in the next upcoming years. So if they keep it, you know, keep it going, it'll be great, cuz I'm going to be a host, well, not a host, but I'm going to actually be on the show when they launched their second season, so I'm pretty stoked about that.
That's awesome.
They're, you know, just talking about music and what I do, which is, you know, the NARcast, I guess. You know. So, but anyway, so yeah,
hey, don't downplay that.
I'm humble. You know, it's just a podcast. You know, and I just like promote. That's what I do. I like promoting music. I like promoting artists and musicians and bands. And I love entertainment, and this is what I like to do. And I'm very glad that you guys can come on and talk music with me and just spread the word, you know. And I know you guys got to show up with Vocab Company, which is an awesome. That's like hip hop, like an awesome mm-hmm. hip hop group.
Yeah,
with an awesome stage presence as well. And this is going to be over at the Hard Rock Hotel on February 28th, which, as I mentioned, is hosted by 91X's Robin Roth, and also presented by SoundDiego.com. So how excited are you guys to be playing at the Hard Rock Hotel?
It's going to be an awesome night.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
For sure. And I think the setting is really going to be good for our music.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's going to be at 7:30. And I know it's going to be a happy hour from 7 to like 9 or something like that. But we'll have all the info, because there will be a link that you can click to RSVP on there. So I'll make sure that I have that link as well, because we want to make sure people are RSVPing before the 28th. So we'll definitely be able to, you know, get that going. But yeah, I'm really stoked. I'm probably going to be there as well, because I'm just going to be hanging out. I'm not going to be doing much. So yeah, I can't wait to see you guys perform again. So
yeah.
So yeah, is there anything else we need to hit up on the interview? I feel like we talked a little bit about the new album Go, and are we expecting any new music this year too, or what's the plan? Any tour dates?
Well, we just released, like, just for fun, we released a single, and I don't know if I haven't really talked to Mark about it. I mean, we're gonna have a meeting right on the block. No, but you know, like, you come up with a whole record. There's a lot of halt on that, because you have to accumulate enough kind of music and things that always puts things a little bit, slows things down in the process, and then you have to, you know, kind of to do that. It just takes a while and a lot of budget and things like that. And you know, nowadays you can just, like, kind of fling out things, and I don't know. I might want to tap into maybe some single dropping,
okay,
you know, for a little bit, and kind of test that territory out.
Yeah.
Because it would allow for newness to happen both in our live shows and, you know, in our online kind of communication to our fans of, like, hey, this is new, and then a couple months, this is new, and this is new, and this is new, versus, like, hold on, you know, I'll be back after I get back from my cave, you know. And it'll be like a totally different sound. They didn't really grow with us, you know, and so they don't know what we're communicating to them by the time they come out.
Yeah.
They're like, you have a beard now?
Which that
is
makes
sort
sense.
Of true. I actually have a beard now. Yeah, so that's why I was kind of joking.
The first thing I saw when I was like, who's that? Oh, okay. The last time I saw him, he had a, you know, he had a fresh cut. So
yeah, it's not a real, just so you know out there, it's not a real long beard or anything.
No, it's not
just
that bad. Yeah. I'm gonna take a picture here in a second and make sure it's you guys see the beard. It's not like Movember type of beard or anything, whereas you got the stash and then a crazy grizzly beard, but no, it's smooth.
Is,
it's smooth.
This is you know, Duck Dynasty.
I can't hide anything in there. Yeah.
I will hire you with that beard. If that makes sense. If you know what I'm saying, I will hire Trevor right now with his beard right now. So it's not that bad. It's really not that bad. All right, so cool. And I feel like that's smart, because, again, like you said, you want your fans and your followers to grow with you if you're going to be changing or evolving into
to a better
and mature band, you know?
Yeah.
Because I feel like as you release more albums, you're going to mature. It's going to come natural to you. And you might have life changes where it affects you emotionally. Like, maybe there's hint, like... maybe fatherhood is take presence, or maybe you know, there's depression or something like that, you know? And then that just, you know, it'll change, like, either lyrically or musically.
Yeah, I mean, life is always changing, and we're always changing as artists. And I think it'd be fun if more bands did the singles and you could go on the ride with them kind of in real time, instead of like, hey, that band's back 2 years later and... all of a sudden they're just different and their music's different. We don't know them. Like, because you fall in love with
whatever
their
you
sound.
Fall in love with. Yeah.
Right. You fall in love with something, and it's a bummer if they come back and that thing is gone.
Yeah.
But if you were with them the whole time, you probably wouldn't have that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's like kind of like lobster in boiling water.
Yeah.
Like, just kidding. But true.
What about music videos? Are you guys thinking about releasing music videos, or
that we haven't had much access to? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not one to, like, buy a bunch of equipment or even know how to edit. So I think with both of our non-skills in that world, and then just not really, if anyone out there wants to make a video for us, is please let us know.
Yeah, we're not opposed to it.
Yeah. No, we're not.
We want to make a music video.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
So just, you know, we just know our strengths, and we know that's definitely not one. And
I'll take care of you. I'll look out for you. I'll reach out to some people and make that happen. And if you ever want to be on my NAR Acoustics, there's an intimate in the living room type of music video if you ever wanted that.
We know how to, maybe, we'll see, but I know how to do some unplugged Dr. Seahorse, because that's usually where I write it. Then maybe we can have Mark drop some beats or something on some level.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. We should plan that sometime this year.
He can play on, like, coffee cups and stuff. I'm just kidding.
Coffee cups, some pans.
Maybe.
You know, who knows?
It won't be typical if we do that. It wouldn't be.
Or an iPad, electronic drum or something.
You can beatbox.
Ooh. See, we're already promoting and thinking. This is great. All right.
Actually,
so,
by the way, sorry. If you listen to the new record, there is actually a lot of Mark doing like beatboxing and weird sounds. So like the first song, Communicate, I mean, he's making a lot of sounds. Oh, yeah. The whistles,
half the sounds
him.
On the very first song are just my mouth.
And then you just like make it all.
Well, because I'm always listening to a track. Like he's writing a track and I'm listening to it and I'm like, oh, I know exactly what I want to hear. But rather than spending like 5 hours with a stupid synth and trying to like synthesize that, I was like, why don't I just sing it? And like, and then that's kind of what I did. That's something new I did on this record that I've never done before, partially because I don't know why it never occurred to me. Plus, I'm like kind of afraid maybe my voice will sound stupid. But I think that actually was, it turned out good and actually made us sound a little different.
Yeah,
so,
I think
it's really cool.
It's fun.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
And before we leave, I want to play, or when we leave, I want to play the track Adore You. And before I jump into that, I want to promote the show again. But other than this show here happening on February 28th, will there be any other events or any other shows that you guys want to, is there anything else going on at the moment?
There probably is, but I have two people that help kind of like manage us.
Jackie,
and one being my wife as well. And it's funny when you know your weakness, which me is details, and I can't remember anything. Once you have like people who are really good around you, which is a good idea,
yeah,
you become almost worse at it because you're like, they know, but I don't know. So every time I'm in an interview, like, and I get asked wife's in the audience, she looks at me like, you know, you totally don't know what to say, huh?
That's funny.
Yeah,
that's funny.
And so then I get off the stage, and then she gives me a hard time because I should have said what I was, you know.
But you know what? Like, they can always go to your website, you know, because more importantly, I think it's always about the most current thing going on. So what's current right now is we got this show on February 28th, Hard Rock Hotel, hosted by 91X's Robin Roth. So you definitely got to come through. Make sure you RSVP on the link provided for you on the podcast. And again, I want to mention it's also presented by SoundDiego.com, which is an awesome outlet for those who are really trying to get into the music scene. They've been very helpful. And also, there's so many other venues out there, like myself, Listen SD, Cody, 3BeanZine.com, and so many other ones. Allen Bear, they've been around for such a long time, and all these other ones and stuff. And so anyway, I just got distracted. There's some people playing ping pong over here. But yeah, I would definitely like to end the track with Adore You. But before I go, there's one more thing I need to do, which will take like a minute. And it's called the 5 second game. And all you have to do is respond within 5 seconds or you lose your turn. But before that, is there any shout outs you wanna say, or is there anything you wanna mention that we haven't?
I think you covered all the bases.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shout out to you for
Thank you.
This is awesome. I mean, we can make music, but it's people like you that help promote it and spread the word, and that's huge for us. You know, we
appreciate it.
Yeah,
appreciate
awesome.
It. And I would love
you've made the band.
Oh yes.
Yes.
And again, I would love to extend my services out for at least the NAR Acoustics. That's something where you guys can be a little creative with outside of your element, and that'll look pretty cool. And I'll set that up with two cameras and awesome audio. So you've guys seen my work. I mean, I did something for Night and Day with you guys, That was a great video. That was big shout out to Ricky Gonzalez for shooting it.
That was great.
Yeah, I felt like it was a great video. So are you guys ready for this?
Okay.
Yes.
Are you ready? I'm gonna add a question because I was distracted. So you ready?
Yeah.
There's gonna be 1, 2.
Who
does, three.
Who answers? Me or him?
I'm gonna go. Trevor. Blah blah blah. And then So first of all, Trevor's always gonna start first, so that the listeners know when I ask a question, Trevor's gonna answer first, and then Mark's gonna answer second. So are we ready? It's going like they're easy. So you just gotta be ready for them. You ready?
Okay. All right.
I'm gonna add an extra one. Do you like ping pong?
Love it.
Do you like ping pong?
Yes.
Favorite cereal.
Captain Crunch.
Favorite cereal.
Captain Crunch. Just kidding.
Favorite. You lost your turn. No. 5 seconds. Favorite burrito.
Oh, California.
Favorite burrito.
Carne asada burrito.
Favorite color.
Green.
Favorite color.
Black, if that's a color.
Favorite movie. Favorite movie.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Favorite cartoon.
Oh, Looney Tunes.
Favorite cartoon.
Simpsons.
Favorite artist or band.
Oh, Radiohead.
Passion Pit.
All right, you ready for the last three? Favorite Disney movie.
Little Mermaid.
Favorite Disney movie.
I don't know any. Lion King.
Favorite wrestling move.
Wrestling move?
Yeah. favorite wrestling move.
When they put their head between their legs and they slam on the ground.
It's called a pile driver.
Okay, pile driver.
And last but not least, what would be your porn name?
Porn Dr. Seahorse.
Dr. Seahorse. I was going to say that.
There we go. Congratulations, Trevor and Mark. You have successfully completed the 5-second game. Congrats. Cool.
Thanks.
That's it. So basically, is there anything you want to say about Adore You, like, before we play it for the fans?
I wrote this to my wife, who is currently over 6 months pregnant.
Wow, congratulations.
So, yeah, she's awesome.
Nice. Are you going to, one more question, will you think you'll be writing a song about the newborn when it's born?
Probably.
Knowing Trevor, he will.
Yes. I will. Hopefully I write like 8 of them, but they'll all sound different. You might not even know it's about that.
Yeah, it might be a little abstract, but it will be about it.
Of course, if it's not an abstract song, then it's not a Dr. Seahorse song.
Right.
So there we go. There we go right there. So all right, let's hear it right here. Here's a track called Adore You by Dr. Seahorse. And again, hit them up, drseahorse.com. Plus, they're on Twitter and Facebook as well. And also, again, make sure you stop by the Hard Rock Hotel on February 28th. And be sure you also RSVP on the link below. All right, here it is, the NARCAST episode 149 with my friends, Trevor and Mark. Thank you guys for being on the show. I really appreciate it. And we're out. Oh, by the way, do not eat a breakfast burrito, sausage breakfast burrito, and Special K with milk, and then go to bed, because when you wake up in the morning, it's not going to look good. We're out.
How can I serve you? I serve you better, better. When your hand's in mine, I feel love forever, ever. More of me expressing myself to you. Oh, this is how I feel. Oh, this is how I feel. How'd I show you I adore you? How'd I show you I adore you? How I feel. Oh, am I coming across clear? How I feel. How'd I show you I adore you? How'd I show you I adore you? How'd I show you that I adore you? How'd I show you just how much I show. I think that you deserve it. I think you ought to.